Welcome to TechLash, a celebration and dissection of the tech industry and its impact on the world. Warning, this podcast has been known to raise awareness, provoke thought, and spark debate. The views expressed by the host do not reflect those of the guests, sponsors, or any other competing interests.
There is a major breakthrough heading to America.
Twitter has an iPhone.
Researchers at MIT are hailing a breakthrough in the field of artificial intelligence.
Just how crucial is diversity to the tech world's future?
The number of users affected by Yahoo's
breach is analytical. Different economic backgrounds, different educational backgrounds.
Welcome to TechLash. I'm Theo Miller. I'm here with my co-host, Zibby Nwaka. Zib, who are we talking to today?
Today, we are speaking with Todd Hine, who's the co-founder and CEO of LegalPad.
What does LegalPad do?
LegalPad is an immigration startup. So they help founders with O-1 visas. And they're also working in H-1B and eventually green cards. But it's all centered around helping folks immigrate to the U.S., primarily with tech companies and in tech.
And for listeners who are a little bit overwhelmed by H-1B and all this jargon, it's kind of like blood types. You don't really need to know them specifically. You just need to know that we're talking about ways to get into the workforce in the United States. And the other thing we need to disclose is you are an investor and advisor in this company.
I am. I'm an investor and advisor in LegalPad. I immigrated to the U.S. in 1985, and my father is from Nigeria, mother's from England. So I'm an immigrant. My parents were immigrants. It's a topic that is near and dear to my heart, as we'll explore further in this episode. I also think it's key to innovation and continue to keep the U.S. at the forefront of breakthrough tech.
If you're not a hiring manager and you're not thinking of coming to the U.S. to work here from another country, why would you care about this interview?
To at least understand how arcane and difficult and manual the immigration process is in this country and how people have been working on it. And so Todd, as an immigration attorney, has really been living and breathing this stuff for quite some time and noticed all the inefficiencies. So the startup was birthed out of his own need to create efficiencies in the process. So I think it's a good lesson on the topic of immigration and why that's important and helpful to our GDP, quite frankly, and spurring innovation, but also a founder's journey on how does someone decide to start a company? How do they go into this? So I think both those things folks would find interesting.
Yeah. And as we dig into it, we start to unpack Todd's background. He's studied abroad and he's just a worldly fellow. So excited to jump in. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Diversity has always been an issue in tech, and now it has been compounded with a worldwide pandemic that disproportionately impacts underrepresented groups. This needs to change. FlockJ is a tech sales training academy that helps job seekers from non-traditional backgrounds break into tech. Through 300 plus hours of live instruction, real sales practice, and one-on-one coaching, students master the art and science of tech sales. Top tech companies like Zoom, Gusto, and Airtable partner with FlockJ to hire diverse, elite SDRs that ramp faster and outperform ordinary reps. Visit FlockJ.com to learn more. That's FlockJay.com.
LegalPad is about creating a world where your talent and not your birthplace is what drives your access to opportunity. And one of the biggest hurdles of accessing opportunity in a world where you can go anywhere on video is this block at the border, which is a bureaucratic wall through a visa process that is archaic, manual, confusing, totally non-transparent. Our mission is to make that process intuitive, easy, push button, your visa's ready, off you go. You used to pull out traveler's checks to go spend your money across the border. And now, like, you would just think I'm crazy if I told you I was traveling with traveler's checks. And yet I travel across borders with a passport with stickers in it. So somebody can look at the sticker. This just doesn't make any sense.
A couple points. One, startups grow really fast. They need lots of engineers. There aren't a lot of engineers. And so going abroad to find engineers is a thing. The other piece I want to hit is that there's an inherent conflict between the way Silicon Valley thinks about innovation. And I should say, LegalPad's not exclusively for Silicon Valley startups, but there definitely is a strong demand there. And so my point is that Silicon Valley startups, they're thinking, we got to move as fast as possible. Let's cut through as much regulation as we possibly can. We're just going to break down all of the friction, all of the regulation that's keeping us from solving a problem. And the government's the antithesis of that. The government's like, let's go slow, let's go steady. And it does kind of make sense, but it's almost too extreme. It's way too extreme to the point that it's stifling innovation.
Yeah. So I love these businesses that go into these heavily regulated, old school manual paper and spreadsheet businesses and turning that into a software company. It's difficult to make that jump to pull a company. So the challenge, I think, for LegalPad is, can they eat the process with software, get margins up to software company margins to justify continued VC investment? And that's the challenge of a lot of these companies that start rooted in services and then expand to software companies. And so I think the challenge for LegalPad is, if you're not successful, you're just another immigration law firm, basically. Mm-hmm. If you are successful, then you get into green cards, you make it much easier and streamlined for people, and you feed the economy and you help innovation. You're at the forefront of doing that.
And this year has thrown a little bit of a curveball with COVID, which has affected many different startups in different ways. But as you can imagine, moving a body across a border is something that could easily be inhibited by a worldwide pandemic.
I don't think we're going to go back to 5 days in the office. I just think that's over, because there is a lot of work that I can do better at home. And I know, like, the whole team, they have things they can do better at home. But man, 5 days a week of like talking into a screen, everybody's exhausted by it. And so I don't see us going to a full remote world. So people are still going to have to cross borders. And actually, there's been a large demand that we're servicing right now of people who still want to cross borders. So no, we're not jumping ship and focusing solely on remote work. We're actually doubling down on helping people move across borders. People still want to go places and be around other people.
This makes sense. And with the vaccine coming shortly, the 90% effective Pfizer vaccine, it's a momentary blip in what should be a long history for this company.
Yeah, I think COVID impacted most businesses. There were some, obviously, that greatly benefited from COVID. And I think it accelerated us into this digital world much faster. And you can see that in certain stocks. But there's also politics. I think this new administration is going to be a great thing for LegalPad, right? Because obviously they were taking a sledgehammer to it. So it wasn't like, hey, let's continue to get really talented, really bright people and encourage them to start these companies in the US. We mm-hmm. want them to come here. We want that group of founders to do that here in this country. It creates thousands of jobs, millions and millions in tax revenue. There's a long list of reasons I could tell you why that's a great thing for our country. So I think the change in administrations will be a helpful thing.
Yeah, the transition from Trump to Biden will make a huge difference. But even in this time where things are remote and things become increasingly remote, communication internally is a big challenge, especially when you have such a mission-driven startup. So it's going to be interesting to hear how Todd confronts that and how Todd manages his team.
One of the things I've had to really grow on is vision, mission, and guiding principles. And when you're 15 people, you all pretty much know what the vision is. When you get past 30, 40, people really need to hear the why, but the mission's really clear. I can't imagine we'd hire somebody who didn't get that at some level. And if they didn't get that, it would be so obvious so quickly. It's really clear to everyone that what we're doing here is really important. That's one of the benefits we have from a recruiting perspective, always have, is that you don't have to dig too deep to figure out what we're here to do and why it matters.
If you can access a person's passion, they're going to work much, much harder for you. But the problem is, a lot of startups just posture and they have this idea that, oh, we're going to change the world in this way or that way, that it's become this massive cliche. But with a startup like LegalPad, it's pretty easy to see why it's important to come to work every day.
Yeah. First of all, if you go to a startup, you usually take less money than you would if you go to a larger tech company or a larger corporation. So you're taking less money. And especially in the earlier days when people are joining in the seed stage in Series A, the mission is really important. And I think Todd, he's lived the immigration law piece too. So it's not just lip service. He's been doing this work for quite some time. He's been working in immigration law for quite some time and helping folks. And he truly believes in this. And I think that shows. And to his point, you're able to attract a certain level of mission-driven talent and folks to your organization. And as you scale, you'll have to find creative ways to convey that mission. As he said, once you're 30, 40 people, you have to start answering the why and repeating it. And if you recall, with these years, we had these written down values. We were naming conference rooms after them. That stuck with me. And that part of the culture and the mission stuck with me. So I'm sure Todd will come up with creative ways to get that message across to folks regularly, especially as they're going to be in this hybrid remote or remote first world as a company.
Yeah. The other part to hit on all that is he didn't come into this in the more established way that startup founders raise money to go to market with a minimum viable product. He started out as a service provider and then over time found ways to automate aspects of his business.
After doing, you know, the same thing two or three times, I got pretty bored. Different people, but you know, this visa application looks the same to me three times. I got bored for about, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then I got, okay, let's see how fast we can do this. So I got really good at cutting and pasting. I was, how fast can I cut and paste this? And after doing that three or four times, I was like, okay, I probably don't need to be a professional cut and paster. And I created frameworks to manually repeat patterns. And there's parts that are the same and there's parts that are different. And you have to be really focus on which parts are steady and which parts are going to change. It's a false construction to think I can either do this faster or I can do this better. A lot of innovation is I can do this faster and better.
Many startups feel like they're solutions in search of a problem. I remember one early stage startup that didn't survive very long. Their whole thing was taking pictures of food. And you can make a high-minded case for the fact that they were going to get acquired by DoorDash or whomever, but it points to the notion that there's just a little too much money flying around in the valley. And so it's refreshing to hear someone who was solving a problem first and then realize how you could apply technology. And to the point that you referenced earlier about a full stack startup where you have a group of people solving a problem manually and then more technology comes in and the notion that they're iterating themselves out of a job. That's a pretty compelling business model because you're able to solve people's problems today through manual work, right? Through people processing spreadsheets or whatever. And then over time, you're able to create proprietary technology that allows them to solve higher level problems.
Yeah, and this is the dilemma with taking these services businesses and converting them into software, because in order to justify venture investment, people want to see software style margins, right? You're not going to get 30, 40x multiple on a company that is basically a services company. And so this makes it hard for Todd to go out and raise, I imagine. And so they have to really bring the services and show that they can turn these processes Todd is talking about that are manual and can be done with repeated patterns and letting the software handle that and continuing to scale and making it easier for many companies to have immigration, because we are in a competitive landscape. Just hiring within the U.S. is not going to work anymore. You're going to have to search globally for the best talent. And LegalPad is helping companies do that.
And this company starts to make more and more sense the more you hear about Todd's backstory. As we said earlier, he studied abroad and he's earned degrees in multiple countries.
I got three law degrees in 3 years from three countries. So I came out and I was doing cross-border corporate tax employment and immigration work, outbound and inbound. And so I just had this pretty rare skill set for a U.S. attorney. I really wasn't interested in inbound immigration law. It was like last thing on my mind. I was looking for a place to automate, had been really influenced from the start of my legal career with first law and economics, just a fascinating way to see the law, and then law and technology. So the two together, I was really looking for a place to automate things away. And that's where the spark was like, oh, yeah, we can automate this thing. Why are we sending all this extra stuff? And why are we drafting this by hand from the start? It just doesn't make any sense.
it's easy to understand that if you spend a lot of your life going to other countries, traveling around, living in other countries for periods of time, you're going to develop an appreciation for visas. You're going to develop an appreciation for handing over your passport, and you're going to develop an appreciation for all of the different processes that are essential for an international lifestyle.
Yeah, I think the perspective of traveling and seeing different cultures is invaluable as well. My hunch is that more Americans should travel, that we probably travel internationally less than other nations. And this is purely anecdotal. I went to Negril a year ago, and I didn't really talk to a ton of Americans, but there were folks in the UK and Canadians, plenty of Canadians there. And I can tell you Panama City, a bunch of different places that I've traveled to where I meet folks from these other countries where it's almost ingrained in the cultures. You graduate high school and you travel for a year, or holiday, as they call it in the UK, is just part of the culture. And I grew up in Indiana in the Midwest here, and I have a couple friends who haven't really left the Midwest before, haven't really done much traveling, and it's just not ingrained in the culture. And I think it makes us a better country. It can make you a better citizen to understand and see and go out there and meet people in other countries and see the culture and get these diverse experiences.
Yeah, there's a well-established attitude that Americans feel like they're the center of everything and the world should come to them. But I agree, more internationally integrated cultures typically are richer and have a little bit more humility.
I'm a firm believer that travel is the best education you can get. Really started traveling internationally in like undergrad with a study abroad program. And it was like, oh my gosh, the world's a big, interesting place. It's a connection you have with other people who do it too. When you're around somebody who's been somewhere and gone someplace, you immediately connect with them. And then people who haven't had the opportunity to do that too, you also connect with them too, because they want to hear where you've been and what you've done, and they want to go try it too. So yeah, that learning you get from going to a different place and matching what you can do with what other people do is just fascinating.
A lot of the conversations we have on the show are about diversity of perspective, underrepresented groups getting into tech. And I want to underscore this theme. It's hard to innovate if you have a homogeneous group of people working on a problem. You're going to have similar perspectives that are redundant. But to have someone with a different perspective offering up a solution with people who have a redundant perspective, there's going to be an opportunity for innovation that wouldn't exist otherwise.
Agreed. And I think companies are starting to realize this, and some have done it the hard way of putting out marketing that's insensitive. We talk about this in some of our AI products that were well-intentioned, but once they were fed some of the nastiness online, they started spouting out kind of racist rhetoric. But I think when you have a diverse group of people in the room, then you have more opportunity to be able to say, hey, this problem might arise. I also want to highlight here this journey that Todd has been through of getting these international degrees, traveling quite a bit, working in immigration law. All ties into that mission base and what could be. And we talk about this at eShares now, Cardo, bias to action. It's not a super new concept, but rather than think like, here's all the things that could go wrong, it's like, what could the world be? What could this be? I got my U.S. citizenship in 2012. I was at Silicon Valley Bank. I remember on the day that I got the citizenship, a buddy of mine put a care package on my desk with Marlboro's, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Jack Daniels, an American flag, sunflower seeds as well too, but it was my American welcome package. I'd been in the country since 85, green card holder, but the process luckily was fairly smooth for me. It's still manual. You had to go and interview and you did the test, but it was this old school process. I imagine now with some of the political barriers and things that have put in place, it's even harder to go through that process. And if they're successful, they'll move from just O-1 and H-1B and be able to expand into green cards as well. And so that's what I noticed when I was looking at the potential of working with LegalPad is I thought, what could be? If they're successful, how many people can they help? What would the positive impact be to our country, to our GDP? And it's immeasurable. If they're able to be successful, they not only help the tech industry as a whole, but they help America.
That's our show for today. If you enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and share it with your friends. Tell them what you loved about it. That would really help us out. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at mailbag@hitstartmedia.com. For Zibi Nwaka, I'm Theo Miller. Have a great week.